This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Marcus Mosher and Kate Madjuke.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast. I am your host, Kate Madjuke, and you can follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast. And of course, I am joined by my awesome co-host, Marcus Mosher. You can follow him on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. That's M-O-S-H-E-R. How's it going, Marcus?
It's going well, Kate. We had some fun football over the weekend, and I'm excited to talk Dynasty about some of the stuff we learned over the weekend and our divisional previews that we're continuing to do.
Yeah, I'm interested. We had some very surprising, actually, I wouldn't even say surprising, but I think we were all caught off guard maybe by the way we closed out the divisional round. Between the Bucs and the Saints. The Saints were favored going into this week pretty much consistently across the board. And the Tampa Bay Bucs, the score, I think, is a little bit more deceiving than the matchup itself. But with that, we do have the huge, huge news that Drew Brees, this is the end of the road for Drew Brees. Just before the game yesterday, Jay Glazer announced that this would be his final game in the Dome and that he would be retiring. So this is the end of an era.
It really is. And I tweeted it last night that it's going to be really sad not to see Drew Brees play because he was just so much fun. And for us dynasty players and fantasy football players, we've relied on Drew Brees a long time to carry the rest of our Saints players. So from a fantasy perspective, from a fan perspective, it stinks to see him go out. And it's unfortunate that he had to play the way that he did yesterday because he's a much better player than what we saw yesterday.
That's what I was going to say. So it goes out, only completed 55% of passes yesterday, 134 passing yards, three interceptions, which is just not, that is not Drew Brees. You know Drew Brees, that is not Drew Brees. My only question for you, and this is sort of this is just me poking and seeing how far we're willing to go. Is there any chance that you would ever think Drew Brees would come back in 2021 to avenge the way he exited this season, or is he just done?
I think he's probably done, and I actually think it's partly because of the Saints salary cap. You look at, you know, how far down in the hole they are, $95 million right now, with the cap being at $181 million. If it actually drops to $175 million, you're looking at a team that's $100 million over the cap. I don't know if the Saints can afford to bring him back. So even if he gets that itch a little bit, I kind of think he's going to stay away. And it's worth noting, he has a deal with Fox to be a new broadcaster. So I wouldn't be surprised if he decides just to hang him up and get ready to transition over to his new career.
Terrible, terrible. I think everybody in the NFL, regardless of what franchise you are a fan of, just loves to watch Drew Brees play. Absolutely. But you want to see him play at his peak. Are there any other takeaways that you walked away with from the divisional round that we need to apply to our fantasy teams?
Yeah, well, let's stick with the same team, Kate. I'm really nervous about Michael Thomas. He had a 0 for 0 for 0 yesterday, completely shut out. And a lot of the reason that we liked Michael Thomas so much and, you know, ranked him as a top 3 or 4 dynasty receiver is because of that consistency at quarterback. Now, we know that he's been somewhat productive with Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater in the past. But again, if this Saints team has to be gutted this offseason and they lose valuable offensive linemen, maybe the quarterback changes and they have to change their offensive philosophy, I'm nervous about Michael Thomas. I'm not saying that he's not going to be startable, but those days of him getting 1,700 receiving yards and double-digit touchdowns, they're probably over.
It's kind of crazy because we do see how quickly things can change. I feel like Dynasty fantasy football is the most slow moving but most quickly moving train that you either have to get on or jump off of. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas, for January ADP updated by Dynasty League Football, sitting as the wide receiver 10. So that means in startup mock drafts, Michael Thomas is the 10th wide receiver taken off the board in Dynasty leagues.
That feels a little high. Like, I think I can find 12 other guys that I probably would rather have instead of Michael Thomas, because he's going to turn 28 in March. We've seen his yards per reception drop every single year. He dealt with an injury this year, and if the quarterback play decreases, which we think it probably will, the upside isn't there. So I think even at wide receiver 10, that feels a little rich.
Is this perhaps an opportunity to buy Michael Thomas low? That is my question, because it wasn't so far off that we saw Michael Thomas at his peak. Obviously, he is a PPR machine. If he's fed the targets, I think he can get the workload done. I thoroughly believe that, you know, age is not necessarily the death trap we sometimes mm-hmm. fall into. DeAndre Hopkins, he's sitting as the wide receiver 9 in the same ADP mock drafts. He's 28 years old. So I don't know. Do we put too much stock into age sometimes when we're looking at Dynasty? I think so. And maybe Michael Thomas is an example of that, because I think there's still some miles left on the tires. And, you know, who's to say if the Saints decide to blow up this team, and I don't know that they're there yet, or whether or not maybe they think Taysom Hill could be, you know, a good enough quarterback. I heard there's rumors that they might want to bring back Jameis Winston.
Sure.
There's plenty of questions here, because good God, if Jameis Winston was named the starting quarterback of the Saints, what does that do to Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I think it lowers his ceiling quite a bit. I don't think he has that wide receiver 1 upside, because he's just not going to see double-digit targets every single week. He's not going to probably be in an offense that throws a ton in the red zone, because we know Sean Payton likes to use Taysom Hill's running ability. So it takes the touchdown ceiling down. It takes the long plays down the field probably away as well. So I understand why everybody wants to get off of Michael Thomas because of the age, but for me, it's more the situation. I just, unless it's Jameis Winston and they're able to you know, have a pretty good offense, I'm probably looking to move him this offseason.
Jameis Winston under quarterback, I think, would probably, if he's under center, I think that would raise Thomas's ADP probably back up to, what, wide receiver 6, wide receiver 5?
Probably, but I'm not going to trust Sean Payton to do that, right? Because he had a chance to go with Jameis this year, and he didn't, right? He went with Taysom Hill, and Taysom Hill is under contract in 2021. Jameis Winston is not. So I think as of right now, we have to assume that it's going to be Hill and not Winston under center for the Saints.
All right. So we will close out this segment. We will jump right into our divisional previews. Let's head in to look at the Miami Dolphins. Then after that, we're going to take another break. And then guess what? It is time for the Arizona Cardinals, which lots of hidden gems in that offense there. We've got a lot of interesting pieces to talk about. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll dive into Miami. I want to take a quick second to talk to you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The new improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. There are 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, my absolute favorite, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, you name it, they've got it. Even salted caramel for you salty sweet folks. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew, and they're the perfect choice for the health conscious guy or gal looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You get the full mix of flavor and deliciousness while also feeling a little bit better at yourself. And for a short time only, you can go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your order at builtbar.com. don't forget to tell them we sent you there so you can enjoy some of my favorite treats like the cookies and cream. All right, welcome back into the show, everybody. Let's kick off our team breakdowns. We're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins first. Very, very close to a playoff berth this season, even with some tumult at the quarterback position between Tua Tagovailoa and Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's a lot of interesting dynamics going on there in Miami. They've got lots of draft picks coming up. They can really... they're really on their way to building a very solid NFL roster. I think the biggest question, though, for dynasty teams is who is their quarterback of the future? Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's the right answer, I think, right? But I don't think we can value Deshaun Watson like he's on Miami yet. But for Tua, I am a little nervous because we saw Brian Flores pull him multiple times this year. We saw some bad games from Tua late in the season. I still believe in him a little bit, but I'm probably not trading any assets for him right now. So it's not great, but if we're talking about Deshaun Watson, Kate, at quarterback for the Dolphins, I think that changes the potential ceiling of everybody on this offense.
It definitely does. Looking at Tua Tagovailoa from a fantasy perspective, had just 0.43 fantasy points per dropback. That is the same, nearly the same as Carson Wentz had 0.42 fantasy points per dropback. And I don't think anybody would say they are happy with the performance of Carson Wentz on their fantasy teams this season. But Tua, he was also a player who was very highly regarded coming into this draft. Most Superflex drafts and Dynasty, you probably saw Tua go as the 102. Mm-hmm. Is this a buy low moment, or what are you looking at when you're assessing Tua Tagovailoa's, you know, just overall value in Dynasty leagues? Because it's not feeling good right now.
Yeah, I do think it's important to have a little bit of context here. So Tua, he finished his last season at Alabama, you know, with the hip injury, missed the rest of that season. And then he went into the NFL draft with a lot of people not knowing about the hip. And then because of the COVID offseason, no mini camp, no rookie camp, no training camp, really, no preseason games. So we really didn't get a ton of chances to see him play. And I don't think it's fair to judge any rookie quarterback negatively off of last year just because of how weird of a year it was. In 2021, he'll be a full year removed from that injury. He'll have a full year in that offense. I do think we're going to see a better player. But what's the ceiling here? Can he be a guy that's every week in your lineup? I'm not sure. But could he be a pretty valuable quarterback too in the range of, you know, Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff? I think that makes sense. But I think the top five, top six, you know, finishes that maybe a lot of people are hoping when they were comping him to Russell Wilson probably aren't there.
That's sort of how I'm leaning. And I think where you're at right now with Tua, if you are the person who drafted Tua, might not be the best idea to sell him right now, just because of where his perceived value is in the community and just overall the uncertainty at the quarterback position there in Miami. But if you are not the person who drafted Tua and maybe mm-hmm. you have some extra draft picks, this might not be a bad opportunity to send out some offers. You know, if the Miami Dolphins do decide that, you know, they want to give this young quarterback another go around, because why wouldn't you? I do think that,
unless Deshaun Watson's available, that's the only way.
Unless he's available,
right?
I definitely think that there could be a ceiling that we haven't yet hit, but it definitely depends on where your roster's at and how many draft picks you have mm-hmm. at the ready to trade for some assets. I think he's could be an interesting buy low, but I'm not totally in yet. How about the rest of the assets in Miami? We were talking before the show about how, is there any NFL team right now that has a better opportunity in the running game for these incoming rookies than Miami? Because I had projected last season, I thought they might be after J.K. Dobbins. That was not the case. They really just sort of went out in 2021 or in 2020 with really not a great plan at running back. They just sort of threw their guys out there. Salvon Ahmed, you saw a lot of just flash performances from some of these running backs in the depth chart. Are there any guys that you're holding on to going into next season, or do you think they start fresh, you know, with a new draft pick? Maybe they grab a Travis Etienne, a Chuba Hubbard. What do they do? And does this affect your value of the guy they currently have on the roster?
Yeah, so this is a great question. I do believe the Dolphins have the best available situation for a running an incoming rookie running back. So last season, the Dolphins running backs combined for 2,200 total yards, actually a little bit closer to 2,300 total yards and 13 touchdowns. That was actually the 10th most yards and touchdowns for running backs in the NFL. Salvon Ahmed, Myles Gaskin, these are, you know, seventh round picks, undrafted free agents who came in and played well because that situation is really good. It's a really good defense that gives you the ball back. You're going to get a ton of opportunities. And you mentioned Travis Etienne, Najee Harris. I don't think most teams would take running backs late in the first round or early in the second round, but when you're the Dolphins and you own picks 3, 18, 36, and 50, I think you can afford to take one of those running backs. And listen, an Etienne or a Najee Harris that can do work out of the backfield, that you don't have to take off the field, I can 100% see, Kate, a running back going at pick 36 and all of a sudden becoming a workhorse back. So I do think this is the best situation for a rookie running back, and I've got a feeling Miami is going to be one of those teams that takes one.
Myles Gaskin is one guy who's, you know, currently on their roster that I think if there is a chance, you know, to see maybe a situation like we saw with the Buffalo Bills, where yes, they drafted a new running back, but they still had their veteran involved. For me, that guy's Myles Gaskin. I think definitely it showed some chops as a receiver that I don't think many of us were expecting. Had at least 50 receiving yards in the last three games that he played in the 2020 season. He was a very steady steady asset, especially in PPR leagues. What if he becomes, you know, like a complimentary, maybe a third down back who has this PPR upside? I feel like you can get him for absolutely nothing at this point because we are all expecting them to draft this rookie. He might be an interesting piece that, you know, is now the time to acquire him because we're seeing, you know, this tide change in Miami. Nobody really thinks he's going to survive it. So I'm going to throw some offers out there, even if he does end up being a complimentary piece in that offense moving forward. I think we could see some of that, you know, depth value for dynasty teams that people aren't really considering right now, maybe.
Yeah, and I think what's tough about this is we can look back at the history of like day three running backs, and they don't stick around very long. But however, I do think Gaskin has an interesting skill set where he can be a solid contributor, just probably never the workhorse guy. So if you trade for Gaskin now, it wouldn't shock me, Kate, if he's still somebody that you can use early on in the season as they're kind of grooming a rookie to take over that role. Almost in the way that like Marlon Mack, I think, was going to do that to Jonathan Taylor this year until he got hurt. So yeah, if you throw a late round pick at Myles Gaskin, you use him up, you use him as a, you know, an injury replacement when you can. I don't think that's the worst idea in the world.
All right. I like that. How about the wide receivers? We have Devontae Parker, Preston Williams. Both of these receivers, you know, I think it was really hard to evaluate them from a dynasty perspective this season because not only did you have, you know, two under center who you know, wasn't the most proficient passer. He was only 26 in average depth of target, so he wasn't taking a lot of those big shots down the field, not a lot of those big plays that you saw, you know, when Ryan Fitzpatrick was under center. If you have to pick one of these guys, is it Devontae Parker or is it Preston Williams? Are you sticking with the youth?
I mean, I think Parker's the better player, and he's definitely been healthier. I like Preston Williams' skill set. You know, at 6'4", 210 pounds, he can win in the end zone or in the red zone, and we've seen seen him be effective before. And we've seen him go against some really good cornerbacks, including Stephon Gilmore and Tre'Davious White this year, and still be effective. So I think right now is the time to buy Preston Williams. He's really cheap considering he missed time. We'll see about the quarterback play, but if that is, you know, again, if Miami lands Deshaun Watson, you're going to see Preston Williams' price just go through the roof. So he's one of the guys I'm going to try to buy this offseason.
Well, I do think that regardless of, you know, which wide receiver you value as the, you know, either the more talented player or the person you think will have the most opportunity, given both of their injury histories in the 2020 season, both of them banged up, I think you get both of them below their potential value in dynasty leagues, at least. Last but not least, let's talk about Mike Gesicki, who I feel like his story and narrative in the dynasty community has just been an absolute roller coaster. You know, we saw him, you know, hit some peak value, I think, entering the season. And then in week two, had 130 receiving yards and a touchdown. And we thought the value could not get any higher. And then he put up two 15-yard games, had a zero-yard game, an eight-yard game. He's been a roller coaster. So where do you value him? Because we've agreed in the past, you know, there's the tier of tight ends, and then there's everybody below the tier of tight ends. Where do you value Mike Gesicki? Because for me, he's a tight end that, you know, obviously has tremendous upside. He posted a 700 total yards this season, six touchdowns. He's got the ceiling, but the inconsistencies are what bothers me here, because he's going to be hard to rely on, especially, you know, in a dynasty league where you know, there's not a ton of depth at the position regardless.
Yeah, so if you're an optimistic person, Kate, you can say, well, Mike Gesicki is, you know, one of these players that has improved every single year. He had 700 yards this year. That was a pretty significant bump over last year. He had more touchdowns this year than ever before. But for some reason, I just don't trust him. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I didn't love him as a prospect coming out of Penn State. I just thought he was a little soft. And I also agree. I think after the top, you know, three guys, I think there is a pretty significant drop, you know, after Kelsey, Waller, and Kittle. But would you be surprised to know, Kate, that Gesicki had the fourth most receiving yards by a tight end this year? I don't know if that makes me feel good about him or just sad about the entire tight end position in general. It's just I'm probably not sinking or trading any more assets into a tight end that's not named Kelsey, Waller, or Kittle.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, we are going to go ahead and dive over giddy up west out to the Arizona Cardinals, where we can talk about this year's quarterback two.
Are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups heading into this week and beyond. The NFL regular season is finishing up. The playoff picture has never been more exciting, and there's only one place that has you covered, one place we trust to go and make all of your bets. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Yes, you can use that on the NFL games of the week. Maybe you want to get in on that Friday or Saturday NFL action. Maybe you want to bet on those bowl games. Maybe you want to get into the NBA as they kick off the regular season. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your sportsbook experts. And if you're looking for some information on how to go about your betting experience, look no further than the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Win some money. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back into the show. We are going to take a deep dive into the Arizona Cardinals offense. There's lots of gems here to talk about. First off, obviously, we have to talk about the guy at the center of it all, under center of it all, Kyler Murray, the quarterback two for the 2020 season. I feel like he had one of the quieter top three performances at any position on the season, right?
Yeah, and I think it's because there was a stretch there where he just didn't play particularly well. Like, I think against the Patriots, he had 170 passing yards. Against the Rams, he had 173. But, you know, on the season, you know, 4,000 passing yards, 26 passing touchdowns, and then you add in another 800 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns. It's the Konami code, right? Because of that ability to run the ball, he's just a cheat code. And he's going to be, every time that he's on the field, a top three or four dynasty quarterback. So if he can improve the passing at all, in which he will as he gets, you know, further in his NFL career, he's only going to become a better dynasty quarterback. So I don't think there's any way you can move him outside the top three or four right now.
I don't think there is either. And as long as he's tied to DeAndre Hopkins, who was the wide receiver five on the year, I don't think there's any possible way to move him out of that range. This is what the team does. They weren't like a particularly strong defense, but their offense is where all of their money is made. And I think that's going to continue. I don't think we should see anything different. Speaking of the wide receiver five and half PPR formats this year, DeAndre Hopkins, the old man himself.
That makes me feel really bad when you say old man, because I'm older than DeAndre
Hey,
Hopkins.
Football age is totally different than real age. I mean, we all know like, Tom Brady and Drew Brees, they are literally dinosaurs in football time. But hey, in a normal man's life, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. So don't feel too bad, Marcus. We're here to age is relative here in football land. DeAndre Hopkins, we talked about it earlier with Michael Thomas. Is there any concern? I know we had touched on age briefly before. Is there any concern about age regarding DeAndre Hopkins? Because I don't really think it's a thing.
No, not really. And I think it's a combination of things, right? He's only missed two games in his NFL career. He's tied to a young quarterback and a young head coach. And the volume is there. We've seen, you know, in this season alone, 160 targets, 1,400 yards. The touchdowns were a little bit down this year, but the volume, the offense that he's in, there's just so much to like about DeAndre Hopkins because he's so steady from year to year. I still think, Kate, that we have four or five wide receiver one seasons from Hopkins coming.
I definitely think if you're in a league where maybe they're the DeAndre Hopkins manager is fearful of age and starting to worry about whether or not we're going to see the decline of DeAndre Hopkins, absolutely buy, because he's going to be a guy that can win you a championship next year and the year to follow. And if you can get him at the age discount, sure, let's do it. How about Christian Kirk? Another interesting receiver here in this offense. It hasn't been as explosive as we, I think, projected necessarily. Obviously, everybody gets the rookie hype as soon as they come in, but he's a former second-round pick. Just hasn't seen the consistency. We've seen some of the boom opportunity, but definitely hasn't hit his stride. Are you giving up on Christian Kirk, or do you feel there's still room for him to grow in this NFL community in general?
I'm not giving up on Kirk. I'm not sure it's going to happen in Arizona. I just don't think he's a good fit in that offense, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player. You know, coming out of Texas A&M, he was really good in the short to intermediate parts of the field where he can catch slants and then take him to the house. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that's the way the Cardinals plan on using him. Kyler Murray really avoids the middle of the field as much as possible. He would rather throw the ball down the field. It would not surprise me if Christian Kirk, who is a free agent after the 2021 season, goes to a different team that fits his skill set and we see a much better player. Again, I think next year we'll see someone flirt around, or you know, we'll see Kirk flirt around that 700-yard mark, five or six touchdowns, but 2022 is when I'm looking for the potential breakout.
I like that. He definitely has the draft capital. Maybe the new offensive system will be the trick if he can find. God, could you imagine if he got locked into a team like Green Bay? I feel like I just want to throw every wide receiver into Green Bay and see what they can do to reach their full potential. How about the running back situation? I think this is where we could see some movement here in the Cardinals' general system. We have Kenyon Drake, who is officially an unrestricted free agent. He had signed a one-year tender last season, so he's on the market. But you know who they still have under contract? Chase Edmonds. Do you think they bring Kenyon Drake back? And what do you think of Chase Edmonds? Because Chase Edmonds is a guy that I like a lot. And I can talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, I think Edmonds is just the better player here. We saw in the first 14 games of the season, they really didn't use him in the last 2 weeks, but 14 games of the season, 800 yards on some pretty limited touches. He's just the more explosive, better receiver right now. But I do think Kenyon Drake is going to come back. Believe it or not, he has three straight years of at least 1,000 total yards. He had 10 touchdowns this year, which kind of feels gross because it didn't seem like he was all that valuable. Really wasn't used much in the passing game, but my expectation is they'll bring Kenyon Drake back. Chase Edmonds has one more year left in his rookie contract. But Kate, I would not be surprised if this is a destination and where we see a rookie running back land. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury wants to get more speed on the field. He wants to get somebody who's a little bit more dynamic. And that is interesting as well. But I do think Chase Edmonds might be a good buy right now just because he has been productive in a limited role.
I really like Chase Edmonds. He was a guy that, you know, I think understatedly, I had to throw him in some of my lineups, one dynasty league in particular. I had to throw him in my RB slot for like four consecutive weeks or something like that. And you know what? He did not put up 0 points. Right. He actually ranks 12th among running backs in fantasy points per touch, per PFF in the 2020 season. I think his value was a little underrated. If they don't happen to draft a running back, I do think, of course, they could bring Kenyon Drake back, and I don't think he would necessarily cost them a ton in cap space. But Chase Edmonds is a guy that we should watch. And if you do like what Chase Edmonds has to offer, I would be sending out these offers ahead of the NFL draft, because if they don't draft a running back, that is when we are going to see Chase Edmonds' value skyrocket. We already, you know, see that uptick in value just because of the fact that, you know, Kenyon Drake is a free agent, hasn't signed another deal yet. But if they don't draft a running back, Chase Edmonds is going to be a huge, huge buy, and you're going to miss that buy window.
A sneaky RB1 potential at a very cheap price.
How about let's talk about the tight ends?
Do we have to?
No.
Okay. There you go. You don't want a Cardinals tight end.
You really don't. We've touched on this. We already said it. You want one of the golden three. You want Kelce, Kittle, or Waller, and nothing else.
Correct. So don't invest assets into this Cardinals tight end. This is not going to help you.
Nope. All right. That actually simplifies my whole roundabout here. Anything else that you want to close out the show with, Marcus?
No, I just want to say these are two teams that have a lot of running back production out there. If they draft, you know, a Travis Etienne or Najee Harris, those are good landing spots. So we'll see what happens.
All right. I like it a lot. Everybody, please be sure to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. You can follow me, Kate, on Twitter at FFBallBlast. Give Marcus a follow at Marcus_Mosier. We will be continuing our team-by-team previews. Next up, we have Matt and Ryan with the Chicago Bears Washington football team. Two interesting pieces. I'm not going to say they're flashy, they're not sexy, but given the way they ended their season, it's kind of interesting to see where these cards may fall. But be sure to tune into them. They'll be popping up tomorrow, and we'll be back on Thursday.